This is John Walden, Colorado Springs. I'd like to have a little Bible study with you on the subject of the gospel. Now, the gospel is not the whole Bible. The gospel is good news. That's the meaning of the word. All of the Bible is true, but it isn't all gospel. We're going to turn to the book of Romans for our first study on this topic. Romans chapter 1, and we'll see how the gospel is presented in this particular book. The book of Romans has often been called the gospel for the believers. It is written to help us who have trusted in Christ to know what we believe and why we believe it. It begins, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now that tells us its source. This isn't something that Paul thought up. He didn't get together with a group of men and form a committee and decide that this would be a good thing. This came from God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So the gospel is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody has said there is no good news in the Bible about sinners. The good news is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. The news about us is bad, that we have sinned against him, that we deserve nothing. But the good news is about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is called in verse 9, the gospel of his Son. And in verse 16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So this is the gospel of God's Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, he did not only give him to be a teacher. That wouldn't be the gospel. The gospel, according to 1 Corinthians 15, is how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So the gospel is the story of the love of God and the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for us in our place at the cross. Now, according to the first few chapters of Romans, the gospel is needed. I'd like to establish this, first of all, in case anyone is listening who has never felt any need for the gospel, it's simply because you have not studied the Scriptures, and especially the first three chapters of Romans. In the first chapter, he establishes that what we would call the heathen need the gospel. Now, that won't be questioned by most people here in our country. We say, oh, of course, the heathen need the gospel. But the second chapter takes up a moral kind of people who look down on the heathen and judge them. And yet he says they need the gospel also. They need the gospel because they know what's right, but they don't do it. And the third chapter, the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3, tells about the religious people. Now someone isn't going to like this, but the religious people needed the gospel just the same as the heathen or the moralist without religion. Religion does not save. The Jewish people had the only God-given religion that has ever been on this earth, but it didn't save them. They rejected their Messiah, and the poor people are suffering to this day for it, and will until they realize their blindness and receive their Messiah. I pray for Israel. And if any of that nation are listening to me just now, I beg of you, read the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, the prophecies concerning the Messiah. Read the New Testament and see how he fulfilled them to the letter. Well, the gospel then is for all people, and he sums us up in the end of chapter 3 by saying, there really is no difference. Of course, there's a difference in the amount of sin. There's a difference in the way people have sinned. But he says there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he immediately begins to tell us how that God is willing to justify us freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's the 24th verse of Romans 3. And the rest of that chapter shows that it is through the blood of the Lord Jesus, through his suffering and death, that God is able to justify people, not on the basis of what they do, because verse 28 says, we conclude. That means we close the subject. It's settled that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Now, the law was given for a purpose, and that purpose is set before us in verse 20 of the third chapter. By the law is the knowledge of sin. The law convicts us. The law shows us our need, as a mirror shows us the dirt on our faces. And the gospel takes away that sin, meets that need. Then he goes on in the fourth chapter, in the first 11 verses of chapter 5, to show that God is perfectly righteous in saving guilty sinners. He is the just one and the justifier, according to chapter 3 and verse 26. And this justification is exactly what Abraham and David and all the rest of the Old Testament saints learned. Now, this is not entirely for them, because he says at the close of chapter 5, it wasn't just written for the sake of them, but for us also, to whom it shall be counted, imputed. Righteousness will be put to our credit if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Therefore, Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, salvation is a free gift, not according to our works, not for those who can do something for themselves, because we're told in verse 6 of the 5th chapter, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now then, when God settles the subject of deliverance from the guilt of sin, he immediately takes up another subject in Romans, because the gospel is the good news of all that God wants to do for us. And beginning at verse 12 of the 5th chapter and continuing through chapter 8, he shows us how we can have deliverance from the power of sin. Now, this is not by any extravagant claims, thinking that we have had the old nature taken out of us, or thinking that we're not able to sin. It's painfully true for all of us as Christians that we have done a good many things since we believed in the Lord Jesus, that we're displeasing to the Lord, just plain disobedience. But he shows us that there is a power operating in our lives that we never had before. And this is known by a recognition of a truth given to us in Romans 6, that when the Lord Jesus was put to death, God credited that to believers. And God counts us as though we too had been put to death. Now, he said, I want you to act like people who no longer are part of this world, but have died to this world and to sin, and now you are alive with a new life which you never had before. He develops this in chapter 7 by showing us that it is not by the law, we are not to keep the law in order to behave ourselves, but we are to be so united to the Lord Jesus, as he says in the end of the 7th chapter, who shall deliver me from this body, the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So God gives us deliverance. And he tells us plainly that sin shall not have dominion over you, in Romans 6 and 14, so that we do not need to yield ourselves as servants to the old master of sin, but yield ourselves to God. This is what the gospel produces in the life of a believer. And then the 8th chapter tells us that there's no judgment for us and no separation for us, and that even the things that seem to be against us, God will make them to work together for good, to those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Then there's a parenthesis in the 9th, 10th, and 11th chapters where he explains why God has temporarily set aside the Jews. We haven't time to go into that, but it is a very wonderful proof that God is perfectly just in all that he does. Having settled that, we go on to the closing chapters of the book of Romans, 12 through 16, and there he shows the effects of the gospel, how the gospel works in the everyday life of believers. Now he begins it by saying, I beseech you, I beg of you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Because we love the Lord Jesus, we're glad to give ourselves to him. And this is the only kind of service that he accepts. He doesn't want you to serve him in exchange for salvation. That can't be done. For it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. But he wants you to live for him and to do the things that he points out in these closing chapters because you belong to him. And not only to serve him, but to serve fellow believers. He tells us how we can be a help to other Christians, the weak ones, and all who have any need. And then he tells us how to behave ourselves in respect to the authorities. And a Christian is a law-abiding citizen. A Christian is one who is easy to live with. These are the products, then, or the effects of the gospel in the book of Romans. Have you believed this gospel? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus as your own Savior? Then I hope you'll want to live for him. Our Father, we thank thee for thy word and ask you to bless it to all who have heard it just now. Take our thanks in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.